I'm with Melania Alvarez, as candidate for the Madison School Board, and we'll have a few questions today. The first one is, Melania, if you could describe your background.
Okay. I'm Mexican-born. I've been in the United States for 21 years now. My undergraduate is in actuary, and I'm also a mathematician. And then I have a master's degree in operations research from Stanford University. And I have a master's degree from UW in economics. I also one in anthropology. I have worked at the university for the last 8 years doing quantitative assessment analysis. What I do is I test how much mathematics students know and learn while they are there. Okay, and if they have the math requirements that they need in order to, you know, take courses in physics, in geography, in biology. So it's not just math theories. We want to know if these people actually have the quantitative skills in order to go into these other careers and fields, science fields. So that's what I do. Also, for the last during 4 years, when my daughter was from fourth grade, I was a volunteer pro. I used to go there once, twice a week to help teachers, you know, teach some kids with math and also their Spanish if they have some problems and try to introduce them into English and things like that. And so that's my background. Now, this background has helped me to see what happens at both ends. What is happening with children in elementary school, and what is happening when we get them at the university, and how well prepared they are, and what is going on with the programs, how the curriculum is changing, how well these kids are learning that. I think the standards are going up or going down, and I started to be really concerned because around 3 years ago, while I was looking at the Madison Metropolitan School District website, I saw that they wanted to change the curriculum, and they wanted to implement this discovery math, which the least I would say is controversial, if not a great failure, everywhere where it has been implemented, like California, like Minnesota, Michigan. They have completely dismantled in California, they have completely dismantled in Minnesota, in Michigan, because that's where all these programs started. There's been this big fight, and so this is what's going on. Also, to my dismay, I found out that connected math is now fully implemented in all the middle schools, and this is going to be very soon the only option our kids are going to have. And so, and then I started to get complaints from teachers from high school who are seeing that our kids are not learning algebra, they are not learning any basics of trigonometry, or even arithmetic, the basic skills in order to be able to go into high school. And so then the educators have now asked them to get into their new program that they have for high school, so that then the kids can, you know, go on with the project or with the school. And this is Core Plus that's now being implemented at East High, and people in West High and Memorial are fighting. They don't want that thing in their school, but it's now being implemented there. What happens is, if a child goes through these programs without any supplementation, which thank God doesn't happen, you know, completely, these kids would basically be rendered useless to do any kind of science. And this is shocking. And I know that this is true because there were kids that were under this system for 5 years in California. And the kids that were more than 5 years under this system in California, when they tried to, again, you know, teach them and work on them, these kids couldn't get it. It was very, very hard. So we have effectively lost a generation in California. Children, and many of them really, really bright kids, and that's lost. And I don't want this to happen here. What happened also is I went and talked 3 years ago to people at the Madison Metropolitan School District, and I asked them if they were trying to implement discovery, if they were going to do, you know, connected math for everybody. and they told me that that was not what they were going to do. And I don't like that parents go, I'm not the only one, parents go there, they discuss, they talk with people, they reassure you, you're out of there thinking that, you know, that they told you the truth, and then come find later on that that's not the case. So all these for all these reasons I'm running is mathematics, but it's also, you know, other parts of the curriculum like reading. There are things that work. Phonics works. Let's not forget that the best spellers, the people that go to a spelling bee in Washington, those people learn how, you know, through phonics. I don't think it's the only way. I think also whole language has good points, and direct language also, which is another way. So why don't we use all these things in a balanced way so that our kids can learn how to read and write? And spelling is important. I also have seen people, teachers who say, well, as long as they write, you know, it doesn't matter how they spell, spelling is important, because those things stay with you forever. So it is history. I want our kids to know the history of our country. I want our kids to know the geography of our country, but not just our country, also all North, South America, Europe. You know, it's part of being educated, and we're losing that.
So given your background, how do you feel that supports your school board aspirations?
What do you mean by
that? Well, how do you think that your background makes you a better candidate for the school board?
I think that I know what's going on about all these education curriculums. I know who are the experts and why they are implementing this thing. I know how many of these curriculums have been implemented in other places, and what curriculums have failed and what curriculums are succeeding. And what happens is that one of the main jobs of the school board is to choose curriculums and set curriculums and look for the implementation of those curriculums. And unfortunately, they have not been doing that in the last years. They've been yielding that towards the Madison Metropolitan School District. And of course, then the interest of a few group of educators who want to leave their mark in the world with their own system. This is the way you become famous for life. Mm-hmm. If your system, if your methodology works, then that's it. You know, you remember for generations. Yeah. And so this is, you know, it's like a religion or something like that. And so what happens is that we have to really look at all the possibilities out there, which we didn't look at. As I said, in the late 90s, when these curriculums started to be implemented, we already knew that these curriculums were controversial and they were failing. And so I am up to date to all those things. I know math. I'm also a history, enthusiast. And I know how the system works up and also down, you know, from the beginning, from elementary school to university level, and who is who in teaching a methodology.
So excellent.
That help me.
Excellent. So, if you were elected,
mm-hmm.
what do you hope to accomplish during your first term?
I would like to go and review all the curriculums, the math, mm-hmm. the reading, to look at what has failed and what's succeeding. Mm-hmm. I want to also see if our curriculums stand on their own. Mm-hmm. Let's not kid ourselves. In this city, most parents supplement. Mm-hmm. Many teachers supplement, but not all. And so there's a group of children there that the only thing they get is the curriculum as is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are those children being educated? The curriculum as it is stands on its own. I will tell you that in math, no. But I also want to see what's happening with reading. I want to see what's happening with geography, with history, with science. Okay? And I would like to set and change as soon as possible those curriculums that are not working.
What do you see as your financial priorities for the district? You know, obviously there's been ongoing discussions about referendums and school spending. Do you have any comments or opinions on that?
Well, I would like to see how the money is spent, and also how do you, for example, now there's this new bilingual program, also another failure in California. Mm-hmm. Bilingual education, the way it's set up here, which is that you remove the Latino kids from the classroom, mm-hmm. and you put them in a Spanish speaking class with a little bit of English, and until they feel comfortable, you start incrementing English and stuff. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It says, and now they tell it takes 7 years to become bilingual. That's a lie. That's just what if that will do is just those kids again, they will not learn English well. That's one of the priorities. Perhaps the program like double immersion, like Nuestro Mundo, which is a charter school that they wanted to start, that could work. But the way as it is, bilingual education is not working. But you know what? Now we have all these people hired in administration, all these specialists, all these people, and this all this money in something that is not going to work. And it's not working. The same thing, the math curriculum, this math curriculum, since it's a lot of cutting and pasting, and it's a lot of materials and all stuff, it's incredibly expensive, and how it's implemented. So how are we spending also the money, you know? It is true that we're teaching many times, we're spending it in curriculum, but first of all, is it the best curriculum? Why is it so expensive? How expensive? And also, bilingual education. I said, now we have this whole department of bilingual education in the Madison Metropolitan School District with all these people. Do we really need to hire all these experts? Do we need to hire all these people? You know, so we have to go and look about who is being hired for what the person is doing. You know, that's why I don't want to cut any part of teaching. I don't want to cut teachers. I don't want to cut the teaching experience. Music is an important part of education.
Absolutely.
And I hate this emotional blackmail that they go through every time they want us to vote for a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to do is to say, why you are not balancing the budget? Let's not forget that they had expected just 5% of increment in our property values, and actually we had an average 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And so that meant more money for the school board and for the school district, and that was not enough. Why? So we should really, that's one thing. Now, if we, at the end of the day, we need the money, then we need the money.
Right, right.
Okay? And I'm not against, paying more for education.
True.
Personally, I am paying more for education. But I would like to know, I think there's a lot of waste. And many people are complaining that there's a lot of waste there. And that's what we have to do. Cut away, see how we're spending it. And then from there, if we need more, we need more. Yeah.
Okay, stop. Melania, what are your thoughts on the role of technology in the classroom from elementary to high school? I know that some classrooms are teaching things like Microsoft PowerPoint and other tools. You know, do you feel that that has a role in today's classroom, or do you think that there's other priorities?
I think that I think those things are good if we actually have the money,
mm-hmm.
and we can spend on that. I think, unfortunately, there are other things that are more important, like knowing basic math and reading, mm-hmm. that we're not getting right, and I think this is where the money should go first.
Mm-hmm.
If we can first cover basic education, then technology is fine. But also what people have to understand is that learning Microsoft, it's not teaching kids to program. It's just teaching kids to become consumers of computers. That's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you don't need years and years and years of being taught these things in order to learn them, okay? And perhaps if the kids started in middle school, it would be a disaster if they don't start in elementary school. There was a man in India who actually put several computers around India just in a wall without any instructions. You have the keyboard, stuck to the wall. And the kids were actually able to figure out after a few hours of playing with it. So it is, you don't need to be a rocket scientist, you don't need to be incredibly bright to get this stuff, especially children. Perhaps for adults, for children, they get it. And what bothers me is that I see more as teaching kids to become consumers of of a computer than programmers. In order to become a good programmer, you need to know math, for example. You need to know logic. You need to know algebra. And actually, those are skills that now, thanks to these new programs, many kids are not going to learn. There's also, I'm really disturbed about the use of calculators. I think that from early on, especially these programs like Turk Investigations and Connected Math, the new philosophy is that our kids don't need to learn the tables of multiplication or long division or any of those things, because now you have calculators. So we don't need to subject children to the frustration of learning or memorizing these skills. There's a lot more about just memorizing these skills. Long division, the algorithm of long division, is one of the first difficult algorithms that the child has to learn. But it is an algorithm where you have knowledge there, you know, the tables of multiplication, you know how to add or subtract, and then for the first time you're confronted with taking decisions according to what you see there with the numbers. And this is important because this teaches you a way of thinking, a way of attacking a problem, and we're losing this. So I am against the use of calculators, you know, for basically for elementary school, perhaps for middle school, except perhaps for a few classes, and that would not be the math class, and also for high school. I've been working with computers now for over, 25 years now. Well, 25 years. I started when I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I have never seen a computer in my life. And I had to learn programming. That was part of the courses I had to take at the university. Well, because of my math skills, I was able to learn programming within 6 months. And I started first with cardboard. I started in ancient times. And then within a year, I was actually even a tutor for kids in other fields, like law, and that they didn't know math. So actually, I know. I was one of those people who, let's assume now for the standards of today, I came late into computers. But I have the basic skills of thinking and knowledge. And I did not become just a consumer of products. I am a person that can program. I have learned to program more than 20 different languages. Okay? Why? Because I know math. Because I know logic. Because I know how to think. And I know how these computers work. So, I think technology is okay, but it should not be so much a priority. I think a priority is to first teach kids those skills that would allow them to become producers, not just consumers.
Excellent. Today's public schools, Mania, are in many ways the front lines of a great deal of society's challenges, from illiteracy to child care and basic nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Can you comment on where you see this going and what the role of schools and the school board should be beyond the core educational services?
Well, I'm really disturbed about some things that are happening, for example, with behavior at schools. Lately I've been getting complaints from many parents that there are children in the classrooms that have these behavioral problems, and then what happens is that the whole class goes into trying to control this child and there's no learning going on. I believe that the school has a responsibility about teaching a child how to behave, but up to a point. I think that also parents have a responsibility, okay? And that if you have a child that completely disturbs the classroom, you cannot allow that child to stay in the school. I'm not saying that just the first time a child does something should be out, but I think you should warn the child, you should talk to the parents, you should work so that, you know, your child can stay in the classroom. But after all that, if the child does not behave, we have to find other options. Now, is it the responsibility of the school or is it the responsibility of the parents? I think that perhaps many people will not agree with me. I think it's the responsibility of school, unless there's a real problem with the parents. And then it's the responsibility of society, perhaps. But I would like to see schools as places where children go to learn, where children are not disturbed by great disruptions in behavior, where children learn how to behave and how to respect everybody else, where bullies are, you know, put on notice and they suffer as a consequences. And so I think this is a question. What do we expect from schools? Are schools social life, or schools are places of learning? And I think that's what we have to choose. If we choose that to be a place where we feed, where we take care of children, where we fully educate them, and where parents completely get rid of their responsibilities, parenting responsibilities, then we should say so. And then live with the consequences of that. But if we want schools to become a place where our children go to learn, then we have to do everything to provide that. And parents should take the responsibilities. There's now they want to start this fourth grade kindergarten for four years old. I'm sorry. And I don't know about that. We have to really see. I think that for kids, the best thing is to stay home as long as they can. I also understand that there are parents that perhaps they need this. And what we have to ask ourselves is this something that the school should provide? Child care for 4 years old? Because that's basically what it would be. And if we decide that this is the way we want to go, I will perhaps call for a referendum, and that's where we want to go. Fine, we want to go for that. But I will not make it obligatory. I think that if parents want their 4 years old to stay with them at home, I think that they should stay at home. Now, about lunch, I think what they were saying is that most parents here feed their kids, with a breakfast. They want to make that the kids go to school to breakfast. I don't like that. I think that we have programs where those kids who don't have breakfast at home, they can have breakfast there, but I will not make it mandatory for everybody. I think, actually, if the breakfast is going to be at the lunch, particularly, I don't want it to be mandatory. I'm sorry, but I don't think much about what the kids are getting for our lunches here. And I think that the schools have taken too much on this excuse that parents don't care. They're caretaking. We care. Many of us parents care, and we want to give our children our values. And we want to feed our children, and I don't think that the school should teach our kids some values that we don't want to, like, for example, something in sex education. Not everybody agrees with everything that goes on there. And we have to be very careful also to what's going on there in that sense. And also about feeding. If the school is not just the world, I think there's a world outside school, and that we parents are there to provide it. And we are not all responsible. And this is something we have to make clear to the schools.
Indeed. What career advice would you give today's students? Obviously, you've had a long and interesting career. So what advice would you give students in middle school and elementary school?
What I will tell them is keep your options open. Perhaps there's a course that you don't like and you don't put a lot of effort in it. Put the effort. Even if you never like it, even if you end up being 90 years old and say, I never really liked that, it's a matter of discipline, self-discipline, And also, you never know. For many years, I said, why am I studying English? I'm never really going to use it. I know enough just to get by. And look, I ended up living in the United States. So you never know. So what I always tell them is keep your options open. Prepare yourself the best. So when you have to choose, you can choose because you were out there, getting as much knowledge from everything you could get. So that's my best advice, Have self-discipline, even for those things that you don't like. And you'll be rewarded for that.
How about political advice? You've obviously chosen to get involved in the political system to some degree, and that opens you up to obviously plaudits as well as criticism. What advice do you have for students?
I will say that in this last month that I've been doing this, it's been wonderful to see people involved. Not everybody needs to run, but I think we all need to get involved. Like, for example, I found some problems with the school system and with the curriculum, and we all have a responsibility. Personally, my children are going to be okay, but that's not enough. it's not that just we are okay. It's because we need everybody to be okay. Because if everybody is okay, we'll have a better world as it is. And I think that you should look out there for what's working or what's not working. And if you can make a difference, for small it is, things accumulate, and you can either, you know, put your little seed into their world. So be, you know, go out there and you know, be challenged.
Thank you very much, Melania.
You're welcome.